host this week's Devil in the Detail podcast. I'm Rob Parkinson, and I'm here talking all things. So for a Devil's joining the show this week, as ever, we've got Paul Parkin. How's your week been, mate?
Yeah, Yeah, up and down. But this cold that I think everybody's got for the last couple of weeks. We just won't shift. But other than that, it's been all right. I've not had to do anything, so which is great. I'm just fed up with this never-ending winter we're having.
Yeah.
Every day I get up and think, oh, I'll tell you what I'll do today. I'll clean the deck or I'll sort the garden or you look out the window and just go, I'll watch Bargain on. It's not been great. But other than that, yeah, it's been okay. It was gutted not to be in London at the weekend. Obviously, there are many reasons why I couldn't be there. But I watched it on the box, obviously, so I still got to see it all, which is, I suppose, a plus point of this new deal that we've got. So, yeah, overall, I've had a fairly decent week and I'm really, really excited for this week. Really excited.
I, too, have this 100-day cough, just like you, Parky. Coughed my guts up, sound like a barking dog. Went to the hospital, had a chest x-ray. It seemed they're quite happy with me, so sent me back home again, which is good news. Yeah. Also joined by Paul Whiteside, fresh from our little trip to London. How was your journey down there, Paul, and weekend?
Yeah, it was good. It was good. We ended up going down Friday night. Got a cheap hotel in Oxford. Well, a place called Banbury on the M40, so I finished work late. I got stuck on a job at work and then got stuck in a load of traffic near United's ground on my way home. So I didn't get home till late. So literally just had a brew and then set off. So I got down there about 10:30. So it wasn't bad. It was a couple of hours. And then sort of woke up Saturday morning. It was only like an hour and a half to London from there. Well, it was an hour and a half to the end of the motorway. And then about an hour and a half to do the next 5 miles through Wandsworth and God knows where else we were, so everybody got stuck in the traffic. But no, it was good. I enjoyed it. We drove back on Saturday after the match, like you did, Rob. Stopped off at Warwick Services, and then the team came in. Imogen was sat having a KFC. They're not players compiling in, so it was quite funny, really. But no, it was good. I really, really enjoyed it. I mean, I thought everybody at London Broncos were great. I thought the staff and everyone in the media made us really welcome. And it was a lovely ground, lovely little ground. And yeah, it was a really enjoyable day. And the game was a tough game, but I enjoyed it. It was good.
Yeah, my car wasn't available, so I was on a fun bus from the Grapes. The Supporters Trust bus was full, so I had to jump on the Grapes one. Pretty good. Went down, you know, plenty of space on the bus, carrying all my BBC equipment down there as well. Just about managed to get to the ground on time. Mad traffic, two big smashes, lots of standing around, people on the motorway standing around. Oh, it's not a good sign that, Paul, when you're driving down, people not even on the hard shoulder, just stood in the lanes looking down.
No, well, it annoys me because, don't get me started on roads and that, because I do a lot of driving at work, and we were going down the M6 on Friday night, and the highways decided to close the M6 and force everybody to go on the M6 toll. So you don't get a choice. You've got to go on it and pay 13 quid in your van, because it's 13 quid in a van. I thought I was a bit naughty that, really, because I didn't really want to go on the toll. It's Friday night, there's nothing on the road, but let's shut the motorway so muggins can pay like the money. I thought that was a bit out of order, that. But no, don't get me started on motorways and traffic, Rob. I had me fill of it at work, driving about, getting stuck in it. But no, it wasn't too bad. Coming back was okay when it was nice and quiet.
Yeah, so obviously got myself down to Wimbledon on the bus, drove around Wimbledon a couple of times, trying to find somewhere to park. Managed to get opposite Wicks, down that 100-yard road, we'll call it. Got to the bottom of the road, turned right into an empty car park. Couldn't open one of the gates, so the coach had to shimmy its way through half the gate. This was about 2:35. Kickoff was 3:00. I was panicking because I had all the BBC equipment ready to set up for the broadcast. Jumped off the bus, said to Patrick, who run the bus, "I've got to go." He said, "Right, meet us back here at 5:30. I was like, "No problem," because we'd already agreed, Paul, that you were going to speak to Paul Rowley. I thought it'd give me plenty of time to set the stuff up, unset the stuff up, put it back in the bag, get down to the coach. So managed to leg it up to the ground with all the equipment. Just about managed to set up, didn't we, Paul? Just in the nick of time. Great experience. And obviously a great win. Our first live one together as well.
Yeah, it was a bit of a panic. Well, it was a panic because I couldn't find the press area. And I was in the press room having a brew, just having a chat. I think it was with Dave Woods and that Steve Mascard. And Terry O'Connor walked in. And he said to me, I'll show you where the press room is and that. So I got chatting to him, and I tell you what a lovely bloke. He was really, really nice. He was chatting about my family and all sorts. We had a right good chinwag for about 15 minutes, and he took me up to where it was. So I was flapping then because I was waiting for you. And I thought, God, what are we going to do here? And then you plugged that lead thing in, and the lead didn't work. We had to get a technician from London, and we just got on with about 2 minutes to spare, didn't we? Just the players were coming out, so it was a bit of a panic, but no, everyone was great in London. Big shout out to Terry, because he's a nice fella, and everyone at London looked after us as well, didn't they?
Yeah, so big sigh of relief when that big green light came on the box. Yeah. We started to commentate. Fantastic win for Salford. Match finishes, players go and clap the crowd. We start sort of packing the gear back up. After we'd finished, you rush off to speak to Paul Rowley. I look at the clock, it's 5:10. I'm thinking, I've got to get back to this bus now. So bomb it out of the stadium, run down the road, straight down Wicks, running to the edge of the road, got to the car park, turned right. Guess what I see in the car park, Paul?
No bus.
So I was thinking, where's the bus? Panicking, about 5:25 at this point. I was like, they've left me. I can't believe it. And there was a guy sat in a car in the car park. He looked at me because obviously I've gone white as a sheet. Because don't forget my experience, first game of the season, Leeds away, where I lost my car. I was getting PTSD flashbacks from that parker.
Yeah, bad times.
So obviously I've managed to keep my head together. Text Patrick. I said, where's the bus? He says, oh yeah, we've moved it to gate 7. So then I have to turn round, run back up that 100-yard road to the stadium, frantically trying to find gate 7, because I think they're just going to disappear here. But then, luckily, Patrick texts back and says, meet me outside Wicks. I thought, thank God for that. So, pick me up outside Wicks. And to be fair, when I was getting on the bus, I thought, they're going to give me loads of abuse here, because I'm going to mail the bus up here. Got on the bus, nice as pie with me. No one giving me any abuse and everything. It was fantastic. So, yeah, it was really good journey back home. Yeah, it was fantastic. Not like the glory days of the old fun bus park 15 years ago. It's a different story these days, but very enjoyable.
Yeah, I think them days are probably best left behind us, aren't they? Not mentioned anymore. Yeah, they were good fun, but yeah, no, it's funny actually. Paul mentioned the ground there. I was going to ask you about the ground and what it was like down there. I really wanted to go, but it's just, you know, circumstances and so on. But it looks okay. It looks perfect for what they need.
It was lovely.
Yeah, it was lovely ground, wasn't it? Yeah, I thought it was a lovely ground. It was very, very neat and tidy, very, very clean, and surrounding area is great because there's like a Greggs across the road, a Starbucks right across the road, and it was perfect for me going at Greggs and that before a game, and it was great. I just thought it was a really sort of chilled atmosphere. The stewards and everybody there was dead helpful and really, really sort of nice atmosphere. And I've got a lot of time for London Broncos. I think, you know, the supporters that they've got a real sort of loyal band of supporters, and you sort of recognise a few of them from when they've come to Salford over the years and whatever. So yeah, it was a good day. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Good. So basically what happened then, got home in decent time. Patrick's bus set off. We got there about 9:00. I got picked up, went home, went to the local pizzeria for a celebratory pizza on the way home for some tea. Got chatting to the guy behind the counter. I would say, what have you been doing today? I was like, oh, went down to London, commentated for the BBC, watching Salford Red Devils. Guy was like, BBC? I said, yeah. He says, oh, you commentate for the BBC? I said, yeah, yeah. He said, oh, free pizza for you. So I got a free pizza, thinking I'm going to endorse him. So that was a great thing to finish the day, Parky, for me.
Well, that is a winning. I'm going to try that next time I go in the kebab shop. I'm just going to say, I'll work for the BBC.
Yeah.
See what they say. You'd probably say, yeah, I've seen you on Crime Watch. That's all right. It's a winning at the end of the day. Quite happy with that.
Exactly. So it's a winner chicken dinner. Well, in fact, it was a chicken pizza, not a chicken dinner. But still a win for me, Paul.
You need to mention this pizza place now. He's giving you a free pizza. You need to mention what it's called.
Yeah, I think it's called Masterpiece, Ashfield Road in Sale. So, beautiful pizzas in there.
You think?
Yeah. Well, I was a bit shell-shocked when he said it to me. He was like, oh, it's pizza, free pizza. And I was like, brilliant. So, yeah, fantastic. So,
I'm going to try that next time. I'll work the devil on the detail. Give me a pizza.
You know where I am. So that was mine and Paul's adventures in London last week. We'll talk about the game in a minute. Ladies fantastic win against the Stanley on the Sunday. Our wheelchair team play Tuesday. Warrington, we'll talk about that as well. All the big news, Paul Rowley decided to stay at the club, which is fantastic. And then we'll preview the big games this weekend. So we'll start with a London win.
You're listening to Devil in the Detail, and this is your Big Match Review.
So Red Devils travelled to London on Saturday and won. They beat London 4-12. Paul, great win for Paul Rowley's men. Obviously, took a lot of them. Talked about travelling for 6 hours on the interview with you in our previous podcast. But, you know, a win is a win and we move on.
Yeah, I won't call it a great win, Rob. When you said a great win, I can think of some great wins I've seen over the years. That definitely wasn't one of them. But it was a win. And I thought we were never really in danger. I thought we had them at arm's length. They never really looked like scoring. I think the defence was great. We defended really, really well. I think in another game, we could have scored 30, 40 points. We had that many chances. We bombed so many breaks. Dion Cross broke about three times and we just didn't pick the right pass. So, yeah, I thought we were a bit... What's the word I'm looking for? We just seemed to lack that sort of cutting edge at times. And, you know, they should have been a bit more clinical with our chances. But credit to London. I thought they played really well. I thought they defended well. That's probably the best they've played this season. And they were always in with a shout. But I've seen a lot of people slagging off on Facebook and saying, oh, they were terrible this, that and the other. Look, you get 2 points for winning a match. We got 2 points for winning at St. Helens and we got 2 points for winning at London. You don't get any more just because it's a glorious win at St. Helens. It doesn't make any difference. At the end of the season, that 2 points could be the difference between you finishing in the playoffs or not. So, you know, we had a man sent off as well. We played 25 minutes with 12 men. So I was just pleased to get out of London with 2 points, Rob. I would have took a 1-0 win, to be honest with you. It's a tricky place to go. It was a banana skin. We lose games like that. How many times have we gone to a game like where a team's been on a bad run? And the Salford Fall guys have rolled up and we've got beat. So I was glad that happened the week before at Cass. It didn't happen at London, so I was pleased with that.
Yeah, gritty performance, Parker. Like Paul said, built on good defence, no frills. Yeah, we want to be entertaining. We want to score tries. We want to win matches at the same time. But sometimes you just got to win the game.
Yeah, I think we were just a bit erratic with the ball. Certainly, it, times in the first half. I know Paul Rowley mentioned that in the second half, I think we dominated most of the game anyway, and we had most of the ball, most territory. We were wasteful at times, wrong decisions, bad kicks, end of sets weren't great. But I think Paul's more or less said it all there about it. And what nobody seems to have done, or not many people, certainly Salford fans, is give London any credit.
Yeah.
They defended unbelievably well considering the pressure they were under. I've watched them every week this year, and even in my predictions last week, I said I think it'd be tighter than people think. They work really hard for each other. They're getting better, they're getting fitter, they're stronger, they're getting more. They know Super League a little bit better. Yeah, we weren't anywhere near our best. I get that, but at the same point, and like Paul said, we had to win the game. That's what you've got to. That's what we're going down there for. Yeah, we'd love to entertain. We'd love to be the Harlem Globetrotters, but it doesn't work like that. And when the opposition are snuffing things out, we're maybe not clicking, that's what happens. But just get the job done and come home with 2 points. Well, one thing I've said to a few people in the last week is, this is why I've had to come on tonight. I wasn't feeling great, but I thought I'm going to... The amount of negativity that came out of this weekend, I'm not sure. I've said it before, and I'm not sure a lot of our fans think we are.
Yep.
We are not one of the top two or three clubs in this league, right? We're a team that punches way above its weight, right? We've got 20-odd players, 24, 25 players. If they were all fit, they're not, right? We're missing players. Every week, something else goes wrong. This week, we lost King Vuniawa, who I do think, if he hadn't got sent off, that last 20 minutes would have been a lot easier because I think we'd have come on stronger. I think we'd have just had a bit more edge. But with 12 men, it's a lot more difficult. And something that Sky came out with a couple of weeks ago, and I know it's not deadly accurate, but was the salary that every team spends this year. We were joint second bottom with Castleford, right? At 1.7 million on wages. Now, I'm not sure if it's right or what. But London were £300,000 less than us. Now, let's put this into some kind of perspective. And those three players had a massive bearing on what happened the other day. That's the difference between two teams. That's why the better teams win more, because they have better players. They pay more. They, you know, I don't know how people can't see this, that where we are in the league, we are doing unbelievably well. Unbelievable. We're 4 points off the top of the league. We're 2 points off the mighty St. Helens. And people are complaining about going down to London and not smashing them. We're not St. Helens, we're Salford. Just accept winning games, for God's sake. We went down to 12 men. We've got a lot of players missing. There's a lot going on behind the scenes. We don't know. I mean, this has come out this week with Paul Rowley, whether the players had heard rumours the week before, whether that had upset things in the camp. A lot of things go on that we don't know about. Just be happy we've got the win. Stop being negative all the time, looking for a reason to knock us. Take the 2 points. We've come down. Like Paul said there, I didn't realise that we until I heard Nene McDonald in the game. It took him 6 hours to get to the game. So then players have sat on a coach, and anyone who's sat on a coach for that length of time knows it's not easy just to get up and do anything. You know, I'd struggle to get to the bar, to be honest with you. Never mind play 80 minutes of rugby. So I think the players just need a lot of credit for what they did. They dug in hard. They went down 12 men and still came out with a win. I've got no problem with it. Yeah, what I see is put 50 on teams. But if I'm honest with you, I'd rather put 50 on Wigan than I would on London.
Yeah. One, the players did stay over the night before, but it took them, was it 2.5 hours, I think, Paul Rowley said to you, Paul, to get from hotel to stadium. We all know how bad the traffic was on Saturday, Paul. And the second point is the fact that I remember Carl Fitzpatrick, Warrington CEO, said the average Super League players on 85,000 a year. So that 300 is probably about right, really, really, Paul.
Yeah, they did stay over. I think they stayed over in Farnborough or somewhere like that. It took them a couple of hours, didn't it? So perhaps that was a bit of... They should have probably been a bit wiser to that, really, and probably set off a bit earlier in the morning. But he struggled, don't we? That's why I ended up staying over the night before, because I knew it would be busy around London and what have you. So yeah, I think Parky's nailed it. I mean, I find that so hard to believe sometimes. I go on these Facebook sites and that and just to post our stuff and that, but a lot of them, I disagree with most of the stuff people say half the time, because I think, how long are they watching the club for? I mean, we haven't won a championship since 1976. We're not the big hitters. We never have been. I mean, I've never seen us win a trophy, a major trophy. So I think people need to just look at their expectations sometimes. And what got me, the press conference did my head on Saturday. Paul was getting quite a lot of negative stuff from people saying, oh, where did it go wrong and this, that and the other. And I thought, I'm going to jump in. So I said to him towards the end, that's 5 from 8, that, Paul. It's a really good start to the season. And you could see him smile. As if to say, yeah, someone's actually said something. We've won 5 games from 8. We could have won all 8 of them. So I think people do need to get a reality check. London Broncos will win games this season, because I said it to you in the commentary. They're full of enthusiasm. They're full of heart. They're full of spirit. I mean, the way they played on Saturday, I was really chuffed the way they played. I thought, I couldn't believe the way nobody said that they did done well, because they defended like Trojans. And that little halfback that they had, I think his name was Leyland. Mm-hmm. He worked his socks off, and the pack did. And it's going to be tough for teams to go down. I don't think they'll win games on the road, but down there, I think they'll be difficult to beat. But like Park said again, our squad, what is it, 25 players, something like that. We've got probably 5 or 6 out injured at the moment. We only had sort of 20 fit players for that game. If you looked at the squad, Andrew Dixon played. Who hardly ever plays. You had Kai Morgan in the squad. You had Matty Foster in the squad, who've not really featured, but obviously they were in the squad. If you look this week, Sam Stone's in it. Paul Ruller told me he was out for 4 weeks. So he must be having to name people in the squad just to make the numbers up. So I think, yeah, I thought it was a good result.
Yeah. So just have a quick run through the timeline. London scored early, 18 minutes gone. Made it 4-0 after a period of pressure, Paul.
Yeah, it was a poor try to concede that, really. I think it was from like a set scrum, wasn't it? They moved the ball. They'd done the same move. It was that Leyland standoff. They'd done the same move a few minutes earlier on the right edge, and we defended that, and they moved it left, and it was a good pass. But I think, again, we was a bit out of position on that side. Ethan Ryan and Nene McDonald, sorry, made a bit of a meal of that. But no, it was good play from London. They showed that they were willing to move the ball. They offloaded it well, and I thought they looked dangerous in the early stages and deserved the try.
Yeah, Salford hit back. Try from Callum Watkins. Parker assist from Briley Bertoline. And Watkins was there to score. Sneed kicks the goal. Salford led 6-4.
Yeah, a good try, really. And it was needed at that point. I think we'd been under the pump a little bit, and then we started to get into the game. But again, we were just being wasteful with the ball. I don't know if maybe it was a, I don't know, things just didn't click. I think I'm not going to name names. I think one or two players just were off it the other day, and it didn't help with our fluidity at times. But that came at a good time for us, and I think it just sort of reinforced to the players that, hang on a minute, we can beat these. We're all right. We're a decent team. I will say, just going back, that Leyland, I agree with Paul. I certainly, if London do, well, it looks like they'll probably end up going down because of IMG anyway, but I'd certainly be having a look at him. I think he's a cracking little player. Really is. Really shot. There was two or three in their team that I thought were excellent, to be honest, but certainly in the pack as well, they fought hard. But yeah, it was a good time to score, and obviously you're going to rely on Sneedy to boot it over anyway. So every time you score, you expect to extend it, and I think it just put us on the front foot a bit and knocked a bit of steam out of London at that point.
Yeah. Second half, Salford scored again. Dion Cross in the corner. Salford led 12-4 with a Sneedy conversion, Paul.
Yeah, I thought Crossy had a good game. He broke through a few times and he looked really lively in the game, didn't he? He's got a good bit of pace. Probably took the wrong option a couple of times. I think they were queuing up to score on one of them. And he's one of them. You sometimes get a bit indecisive and don't know who to pass it to, do you? So, but no, he played well. Crossy scored a good try there. And no, I thought he was one of our better players. Really. I mean, there's quite a few players, like Park said, that were off. And not for like lack of effort things. I think just the cohesion and sort of another word I was looking for before, and I couldn't think of it. Composure, that's it. It was like, yeah, when we got near their line. Sometimes you say it to me, don't you, about this rolling ball. Sometimes it doesn't work because you try a bit too hard and you try to score on every play, and rather than just building that pressure and waiting for the chance to come along, because sometimes if our defence will get tired, a gap will open up, someone will leave an arm out and you'll score. Sometimes we try a bit too hard to make it look good. And I thought Ryan Briley poked his nose through a few times and the moves didn't just quite come off. So on another day, he could have scored 40 points. Because we was creating stuff. I mean, I'd be a worried man if we'd have lost 12-4 and been absolutely dire and never looked like scoring. But we did. So, you know, on another occasion, those scores could come off.
Yeah. King V saw red, Parky. A bit of a tip tackle. Referee sent him off. Made the task a bit more difficult with half an hour to go.
Yeah, at the time, I'll tell you what I thought, and this is... It's probably a controversial and people might disagree. First of all, stupid from King V. Absolutely stupid. He had no need to get involved in that tackle at all. It was done for. He wasn't going anywhere. He's coming. He does that from time to time. He'll know that. Paul Rowley will have got him in and give him the rounds of the kitchen. I would have thought about that. Because he could in a different game against, I don't mean this to sound the way it does, but against a better opposition, that'll cost you the game. Going out of 12 men with 20 odd minutes to go, in a tight game, you don't do it. But what I will say is, A, he's never a red card in a million years, ever. If it's a yellow, he's done badly. Even the commentators on Sky were like, well, he's going to go to the bin for this. And then he red carded him. You're like, what? And then, but the other thing is, and this is where it's going to get controversial, I suppose, is, I'd look at the London player's contribution to that. Now, two men had hold of him and he was balanced perfectly. King V grabbed his leg. Suddenly, he's diving on his head. Now, for me, watching it live at the time, I said straight away, he's took a dive. He's been instigated by King V. No, don't get me wrong. He's definitely a penalty and a yellow card for doing it. No need to do it. But that player has made it worse. He had no need to go forward and put his head on the floor at that point. None at all. He could have stayed balanced or fell any other way. I'm not trying to accuse people of cheating, but I've seen it this year a lot. A lot of players taking little dive, making things look a little bit worse than they actually are. And at that point, when I watched it on Saturday live on Sky, straight away the first thing I said was, he's made that worse than it was. And that's not helpful. And that's where the referee has then gone, red card. Not red card.
One, Paul, do you think it's reputation preceding him? And two, I do agree with Parky in a way. It has crept into the game where players will dive, let's call it diving, to try and gain an advantage, a penalty, a six again, I suppose that kind of situation, though, if Salford players aren't in control of him, then it could be a serious sort of injury. So, yeah, it's a sort of a weird situation, really.
Didn't think it was a red card, but I thought it was. I was very surprised when he got shown the red card, because, I mean, the London guy, it was like a hip drop tackle. He got yellow carded for, wasn't it? So, I mean, then King V gets a red. So, yeah, probably a bit of a reputation thing in there with him. But like Park said, it was a tackle he didn't even need to get involved in, because it was already sorted. It's a bit like the week before at Cass, Amir Borough didn't really need to get involved in that. So it's a silly penalty to give away. And King Vunny Isla, for all his sort of hard work and that, he's a liability for these things, and he needs to sort it out, because you can't afford to keep giving penalties away like that. Because coming a big game, say you got to the top six and you're in a big playoff game, he gives us something stupid away like that, it costs you the game. So but getting sent off there against anybody else on last Saturday, we probably would have lost, because a better side would have took advantage of that.
Thoughts back?
Yeah, no, well, the other thing for me is obviously the RFL have looked at it this week, no ban. Right? So there's obviously clearly nothing in it, because they're quite happy at banning people at the moment. So there's clearly nothing in it. They've seen what I think I've seen. However, for him to be involved in doing that, if he'd have got a ban this week, even for 1 week, in a position where we're not strong, right? We've had lots of problems at prop forward recently. How he needs, like Paul said, he needs to sort that out. He couldn't just cost us last week's game. He could cost us this week's game by not being available. So he needs to have a look at himself for that. I thought he was poor against Castleford the week before, by the way. I thought he had a terrible game that day, in both in defence and attack. So at the moment, he's not top of my list. I like the guy. I like his endeavour. I like his enthusiasm. And when he's on form, he can be devastating. He really can. He just needs to get his head back in the game a little bit, and don't just silly penalties. We're renowned for it in the game at the moment, and we need to just cut them out and stop doing it. And that, like, but we've all said it, just don't get involved in that tackle. Tackle was complete. We were in control. The man was going nowhere. In fact, he was even facing the opposite way, so nothing was happening. So just cut little things out like that. And he's still young enough in prop years to develop to be a top prop forward yet.
In his defence, a job of a prop forward is to bash people. So, we say it's indiscipline, but is it a timing issue? Is he because he's slightly late, or is it more of a sort of a brain fart? Because obviously, the tactics in defence is three men in the tackle and one off each time. So he's only following the instruction of being the third man in to the tackle, obviously trying to lever him onto the floor. Yeah, he does have the brain fart. That's fair enough. But Paul, I think being a prop forward, you're always running that line. You are only sort of a missed time tackle away from giving a penalty away.
Yeah, but this day and age now, you can't do that now, can you? They all know this. There's a big microscope on every game. Don't you? You've got Sky at every game. You've got video referee at every game, and you've got to be really careful now. But I get what you're saying. I think, to quote you, brain farts, I think prop forwards probably come up with more than everybody else, don't they? Because you're in the thick of it, aren't you? You're a prop forward, aren't you? You're a big burly forward, and you're getting involved, aren't you, in the tackles. And no matter what we say, I mean, the referees, the rugby league can say what they want about sorting head knocks out and all that. Rugby league is an aggressive contact sport, and it always will be. And you're always going to have these things. You can ban players for 2 years for an head tackle, but you still get them because it's an occupational hazard, isn't it? It's going to happen. So, but just going back to King, he does need to smarten up a bit, because it could cost you. You've got to be very, very careful. You look at teams like St. Helens and Wigan, they're very subtle the way they put you over. They'll give you a dig or sort it out, but they sort of know how to play close to the knuckle. You've not got to be as obvious, I think. With King Vunny Isla, he tends to make it obvious sometimes.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. Like you say, these top teams, they follow a process in defence. So when three men are in the tackle, in every tackle, and always there's always one that gets off just before, and people scream and shout because the defensive sort of effort is in control. And I think sometimes, Parker, we aren't in control of the ruck, so it looks a bit more scruffy and a bit more sort of not particularly great. So the referee might penalise you because you're not in control.
Sorry, I'm being bombarded.
No, I agree. The difference is with this one, I like prop forwards to be dominant, to be enforcers. This was none of that. This was just a stupid brain fart, as you've said, grabbing somebody's leg in a tackle complete. If you're going for a big hit and it goes wrong, well, that's your job. But I agree with that. With it, and this is where we've been getting caught out for me in defence. If you noticed in recent weeks against Lee, Hanley scored a hat-trick down one side. The week after, Innes Senior at Cass scored 4 tries down one side. Because our defence, we lose the ruck too easily. I don't think we're big enough at times. So it's taking 3 or 4 men to stop a man, leaving a short out wide. Everybody's having to come in to defend the middle. Massive gaps out wide. So it's not, for me, it isn't an Nofaluma got the absolute rounds of the kitchens off fans. You know, even Ryan did the week. I don't think it's a personnel problem. I think it's a structural problem in our defence. Mm. And we get sucked into it because we're not strong enough to hold the man. And we're losing the ruck, like you say. Teams are getting on a roll and we're all coming in and leaving massive gaps. Two quick passes. If it happens this week against Warrington, with the pace they've got out wide, they will destroy you. So it's something we've got to look at. But it's about our forwards being dominant in the tackle. Stop them dead. If it takes 3 men, it does, but it's got to be perfect. And like you said, get away from it. Give no penalties. Just be disciplined like the good teams are. And that's probably where we're behind the top 4 or 5 teams, I'd say. But yeah, I agree with you there. I think our ruck is where we're losing too many tries, really.
Yeah, we talked about it after the Castle game. I agree with you both. It's not a player problem. It's a system problem. But yeah, it's a system they've put in place because, yeah, like you say, the middle's big. So like you say, everyone's compressing in to stop the space. Because I think at Castleford, their pitch is quite short, but it's probably regular width. So your defender, as a defender, you have 3 yards to defend in. So they want to compress the middle, so you only have 1 yard to defend in. And I think that's sort of a way of looking at it. But yeah, I suppose Paul Rowley will be looking at that and he'll be discussing it with his players. They know how it works, the system. I suppose it's just a matter of being a bit more clever on that on the outside. So King V goes off. Paul, next 20 minutes, wonder nothing puff. But I think we managed the game out well. I think, obviously, could have panicked, could have been giving away silly penalties. But I think we realised that London couldn't get out of their 25. So we just kept pushing them back in. They did have a couple of breakaways when they got desperate in the last sort of 10 minutes. But all in all, I think Paul Rowley would have been happy with that defensive effort in the last 15 minutes.
Well, the majority of sets of 6 London had, like you said, I said to you in the commentary, that they couldn't get out of the 25. Yeah. And in all the sets of 6 were very similar. They'd sort of give it to that Meadows. It was it Meadows on the last tackle. He'd unfit sort of over the halfway line and it's an old kick. And then we'd return it. So I thought we had him at arm's length, and once again, it showed how crucial goal kicking is. Because sneak kick 2 out of 2, they miss one. You always had the 8-point lead, the 8-point cushion in the second half, 12 points to 4. And London might have scored 1, but you couldn't have seen him scoring 2 or 3. So you were always sort of had that, and that cushion of 8 points. Don't care what anybody says, it's psychological for players. They know they just got that bit more, don't they? And same for the other team, for your opposition. They've got to force the pass a bit more because they know they've got to score. I mean, there's a point in the second half, I said to you, London got a penalty. I think they were down to 12 men. That Lovell had got sin-binned and there was about half an hour left. And I said to you, why didn't they go for goal? Because it'd have been 12-6 then. And then it'd be at the clock, but well, they were down to 12 men. Then they'd have been back to 13 men. And it'd have been, they'd only been 6 behind. But they didn't. So it just shows you how some teams sort of value that the goal kick, and others sort of we'll try and go for the try and that. But I think going up in 6 is so important, and we sneed there. We've got such a reliable man.
Yeah, I think Paul Rowley often talks about his players making them decisions, don't he? On the field, how they feel about the situation. I think obviously, like you say, if you kick the goal, if you go for the penalty rather than make the play, is that not a psychological part? Are you not saying to your opponents, we can't break you down, we'd have to take the 2.
Yeah, certainly at times. I mean, Ian Watson was guilty of that, I thought, when he was in charge of us. And he probably still does it now, I don't know. But he'd always take the 2. And it was always a bit like, well, we're on top here. Let's go for him. Let's go for the throat.
And it seemed like we were letting them off the hook and saying, look, we're not sure we can break you down or anything. Although on Saturday, we'll say, I think we got a couple of chances, about 25 yards out, and we could have kicked them when it was 12-4, and we didn't. And I know we're trying to extend the lead, but for me, I think I'd have probably just took the two and edged further ahead and just stayed ahead and took it out of their hands. The way we were playing, we weren't in control of what we were doing a lot of the time in terms of what we had with the ball. I think it was a couple of times where I thought we should have took the two just to edge that lead a little bit further, poke it along. And then if a try comes after that, it's in the bag anyway. But there are times in game, it depends on the game. And like you say, the players know better. The players are on the pitch. They get a feeling. But as a fan, sometimes it does mean when it's 0-0 and we take the two and you go, well, is that 2 points going to be it for the game? Is that going to be the two that's good? Probably not. It may be we need to get a score on the board early, a try, rather than just take the two, get a bit of pressure on them, make them do a bit of work, tire them out for later in the game. I think sometimes taking a two lets the opposition off the hook. But I'm not a Super League coach and never will be, so what do I know? So I'll trust what Paul Rowley and the boys do, and the same at London, I suppose. They've got their own way of thinking. And I suppose they could have took the two and narrowed the gap. Maybe they thought, you know what? We'll have a go at these. Well, I think we can score, and backed themselves. So you see both sides of the argument, really.
Be asking Paul next season when he's coaching Imogen's rugby team at school, see what he decides.
They're the two. Kevin Tammet, he always said that.
<That's> two, didn't they? So for victorious, like I say, a gritty performance. Looking at the stats, London's completion rate was 87%. Ours was 81%. London made 1,018 metres. We made 1,563 metres. They made 315 tackles. We made 323 tackles. We made post-contact metres, 686 tackles. They made 473 tackles. We made 34 tackle bursts. They made 15 tackle bursts. We made 212 yards return kicks. They made 12, which shows how good our defensive line was in their 20. And they missed 34 tackles and we missed 15, Parker.
Yeah, I looked at the stats at half time. Sky put them up on the screen at the time, and the only thing we were really getting battered on again was penalties. We were on the wrong end of them. But other than that, all the other stats just proved that we were in charge of the game. The only thing that was disappointing in the first half was our completion rate. I think in the first half, it was down at 50-odd%. Mm. And like I said before, we just didn't seem to control the ball. I don't know what, like you say, what Paul said before, we were just erratic at times. Second half, yeah, we did. And we had a lot of the ball. And we probably should have scored more in many ways. But I credit London's defence for that. I don't think we were that as wasteful at all. I think we just played defended really well. So yeah, them stats make sense, really. I thought defensively we were superb as well, though. I thought that was the key to it all. That in recent weeks we've been sloppy. We saw it at Cass. Our defence was poor at times. I never felt under threat from London from that first try. I didn't think they were going to score again. So I think that as good as London's defence was, I thought ours was superb.
Yeah, individual stats. Individual tackle, Tim Laffey 17, Mark Sneed 15, King V 15, Callum Watkins 40, Shane Wright 32, Andrew Dixon 26. Paul?
Yeah, I thought Shane Wright put a good shift in. I really did. He worked hard. Missing Sam Stone there as well. He's a big miss for us, isn't he, out wide. And I thought Callum did. I thought Callum played well. What you say, 40 tackles there. And No, that's a good shift, that. And he does a lot of work with the ball as well, doesn't he, Callum? He's always carting the ball up and scored a good try as well. So, yeah, I thought he put a really big shift in. And you're missing some big men there. Sam Storm's a big threat out wide. I think Brad Singleton's another one. He's a massive miss for us, isn't he? Because he's a real sort of goal-forward player, isn't he? And we missed him at the weekend. But, no, I thought Watkins was good in 40 tackles. I mean, what was the stat for missed tackles? I mean, because you give a few stats there, Rob, and you went from metres to yards, so
we can't have both. Meters, here was meters. I've got meters written down here as well.
All right. What was the missed tackles then?
Missed tackles, 15 for us, 34 for them.
Which was a lot better than in Castleford. Mm. I think we got bloody 50 missed tackles at Castleford, wasn't it? So yeah, the defence was miles better. I mean, thought the technique was better. I think I said to you the week before, I know we were talking about the edge defence and that, but I watched the highlights back of the Cass game and I thought some of the contact was poor, why we were grabbing at players and just one-on-one stuff. We missed an awful lot of one-on-one tackles, didn't we? And never going to win a game missing that many.
Yeah. Top meter makers, Ryan Brawley, 150. Ethan Ryan, 123. Ninny MacDonald, 161. Dion Cross, 252. Cade Cuss, 97. Callum Watkins, 87. Oliver Partington, 136. And Andrew Dixon, 83, Parker.
I saw that stat about Dion Cross. He made the most meters this week in the Super League. It surprised me and didn't. I mean, I know he made a few breaks and stuff, but I didn't think he'd made that many. I mean, that's a tremendous amount. And it is different when you're carrying the ball from back play, obviously, because they did kick deep. So it gave, but their chase wasn't brilliant at times. So it did give a bit of space. It's, yeah, I like Ollie Partington's meters. I thought he played really well, Ollie, actually. I thought he had a pretty good game, very solid. But taking over, what was it, 130-odd meters going forward, that's some doing that. Because he's not on the park generally all the time, is he? He sort of drifts on and off. But yeah, so some good stats there, really. And that's, if we could combine that with the missed tackle sort of thing, you've got a good all-round performance coming somewhere.
Yeah, I think I've got to win it. Hat tip, Andrew Dixon, 26 tackles, 83 metres, average gain of 9. Obviously, don't play every week, but when he does, you know, came on, did a great job there. So I think a bit of an app tip for them.
Yeah.
Big thanks for your three-word man of the match reports. Chris Seedhouse, wins a win. Dion Cross, I said, normally lose that. Mella. Dave Parker, own worst enemy, Cross. Colin Wilson, two more points, Cross. Dom Hall, really terrible game, Dixon. Natalie Taylor, wins a win, Cross. Paul Whiteside's mate, Roy Ellaby, nothing to say. Dion Cross. Michael Redford, not good enough. And SJ Hampson like pulling teeth. But like we have said, you can't always play fantasy rugby league, fast flowing rugby, scoring tries. Sometimes you got to grind a result out. And that's what we did this week, Paul.
Well, yeah, if you look at the end of the season, who wins that grand final, and then go through their fixtures and look at the amount of games, they won't win every single game 50 or 20. They win a lot of games by grit and determination and grinding wins out. That's what we're going to say. Ellens have made a living on winning games like that, grinding them out. And very rare you see a grand final like that, where it'll be like all flash stuff and swashbuckling rugby league. It won't. It'll be won on like percentages and hunting and waiting for mistakes and that. So, yeah, it wasn't a game filled with tries, but it was a game full of endeavour and good defending. And you need that to win rugby league matches. So I enjoy rugby league when it's played like that as well, because I'm a bit of a purist when it comes to that. I don't have to see 30-odd, 40-odd. You can enjoy a game, and some people don't seem to be able to now, but I enjoy good defence. It's good seeing good defence and teams holding out, and I thought it was a good win. I thought that we got a bit of criticism, really, people saying there we need to do better. We won the game. We got 2 points. We didn't get any points at Cass. So, yeah, it wasn't a great sort of champagne performance, but we got the win.
Yeah, so let's move on to our wheelchair team. They were in action on Tuesday, away at Warrington. Unfortunately, went down to defeat, 48 points to 34. They were leading at half-time, 20 points to 18. Parker, I thought, here we go. First win for our wheelchair team. But unfortunately, Warrington just had enough to sneak the win.
Yeah, but what massive improvements again. In such a short space of time, you know, it was 2 weeks ago, they were at that tournament, weren't they? Was it last week, week before? And I think they were a little bit disappointed in the end of what they'd done and everything. But what a massive improvement. Brilliant. I think it will come. They're all novices at this sport. It's new to them. And hopefully, like I've said every week, we can get a few more players involved. But it sounds like a great game and all. And I'm sure it was to watch, because it always is. But I'm full of praise for them. I think everything they do at the moment, they go out and represent us and do a really good job, and they're getting better. I think that wins. I think it's just around the corner. You just need to keep persevering and hopefully a bit more time, a bit more training together, they'll get there. But yeah, brilliant. It sounds like a good game and a great effort.
Yeah, hat trick from Mark Riley, 2 from Paul Thomas. 1 from Jamie Ball, 1 from Dave Abel. Mark Riley and Dave Abel converted some tries. Paul, but obviously, like Parky said, it's a thriller minute rugby, wheelchair rugby, and obviously unfortunate they went down on their feet, but I'm sure they'll learn from it, and I don't see that first win being too far away.
Oh, they're making good improvements as well, and that's what it's all about. And they're a new team, aren't they? It takes time to get used to the sport. I mean, I've never played wheelchair rugby league before. I'd probably be absolutely hopeless at it. So I think they made a really good start and going to get better as the season goes on. I mean, Warrington have had a team for a number of years, haven't they? So to give them a good game like that, the lead, I think that's off to them. And I think they'll just get better and stronger, mate.
Yeah. So let's move on to our ladies. They were in action away at Stanley and were victorious 20-8, Parky. What a fantastic win for Mike Grady's ladies. Only having 15 players in the playing squad due to injuries and illness adds another factor to this fantastic win.
Yeah, massive effort. You don't realise, we all grew up in an era where you only had 15 players. These days, the importance of having 17 players and using your bench to win games is massive. And for the girls to do it with just 15, I mean, that's tremendous. And there'll be players in there who have had to fill in roles they've probably never played in just to fill shirts this week. Unbelievable. But that's just shows, doesn't it, the pre-season, what we went through in terms of, we had it tough in the Challenge Cup. We faced teams who were better prepared, better with bigger numbers and everything else. Now we're starting to play teams in our league, and we're starting to show how good we're going to be. If you can do that with 15, when you get the full 17 out there, I think we'll continue to improve. Great start to the season we've had so far. Just backing it up like they do. But the effort that goes in, like you say, I mean, they've come through there with 15 players. That takes its toll late in games. You know, there'll be players there who must have been absolutely blowing. And they just carried on. Just machines, really. But, no, great result again. And, you know, hopefully now this is the real team that we're starting to see.
Yeah. Salford started like a house on fire, Paul. Holly Grimes set the platform. Long ball out wide. Emily Bagley burst the line from about 15 yards out. Ran over the fullback to score. 6-0 Salford. 2 minutes gone.
Yeah, good start. That's just kind of start you need, isn't it? So we knew it was going to be a tough game, didn't we? These two sides had met each other last season and had some really good clashes, so we knew it was going to be a big game. But sometimes you just need that good start, don't you? Get some points on the board and it settles the nerves, doesn't it? And you can ease your way into the game. So a perfect start to the game.
Yeah. 3 minutes later, Salford scored again. Emily Hickey made a big drive. Demi Jones and Alex Simpson linked up to send Jen Myler through a gap. She raced 40 metres, ran through three tackles and crashed over in the corner. Salford led 10-0. Parker.
Yeah, again, great start and teamwork sort of coming together. And these are the things that we've obviously had to work on during that tough period in the Cup. And I said that it's getting these combinations right and getting these will be planned moves that we'll have. So they wouldn't work against the better teams like Wigan. You don't get that space and time, but we've had a bit of practice at it and it comes good. And again, some of the key names were involved in that move again. It'd be the same names most weeks that you'll pick up on creating these gaps and putting these moves on. But yeah, fantastic start to the game. And once you get that lead, I think the confidence, especially for the girls who have been, obviously last week was great, but before that, they've been through a lot. To get on top and then to think, right, we can do this. We are good enough. Just gain a bit of confidence and then hopefully things will click.
Yeah. So Stanley was shell-shocked at that point. Gave away a couple of penalties. Salford put more pressure on. Sophie Morris, with a peach of a pass, sent Bagley through for a second. Another fantastic try for her, Paul. For my opinion, playing the game of her life. You think she must be thinking, we'll play with 15 every week.
Well, yeah, sometimes it can galvanise you, can't it? Because you've got to put that extra bit of work in and that extra bit of effort because you've not got them substitutes on the bench to sort of rotate. So before the game, it's going to be tough and backs against the wall sort of thing. So, but yeah, that spirit seems there, doesn't it? I mean, we knew that anyway, having some tough games in the Challenge Cup and them group games. And they were tough games, weren't they? When you're getting nilled as well, it must be difficult. So I think now shackles are off. You're back in the league, playing league action and doing really, really well. So yeah, another great try.
Yeah. So obviously a tough task, got even tougher there, Parky, when Demi Jones limped off for 20 minutes. Obviously Mike Grady had limited options, obviously only having two forwards on the bench. So for the next sort of 20, 25 minutes, he had all his front rowers on in the middle, working hard. Ollie Grimes, Tasha Ralph, Emerald Hickey, Darcy Price, Abby Collins, all, you know, tackle everything that moves, working hard. And it's moments like where you think that's the reason they're going to be a success, because they're willing to dig when they need to.
Yeah, and obviously, I mean, losing Demi's, he's going to be a blow at any time, really, for us. She's going to be key to most things for us this year in the role that she plays. And she's as a character as well on the pitch. So, again, it just shows that the girls are sort of developing as a squad, and you get to rely on each other. Just got to, for me, I said it when we were going through all this in the cup, that it's just about getting through this, sticking together, because we are a new team. We just need to get to know each other. And I think under good coaching, they'll just get better. And yeah, it just shows the steel that they've got. Mm. But when you do go down, you know, in numbers, you can still carry on and have that confidence to go and win games and battle through.
Yeah. And tactically, it was spot on. I think Morris went to hooker, Sam Evans went to six, and they just caught a directed play. They knew they had the forwards. So our sort of attack was kind of a square in a sort of a 20-metre sort of wide, where our forwards just kept going forward, which was fantastic. I think in games like this, Paul, where pressure is built by Stanley, there was always moments where we'd have a breakout. Emily Webb made a 60-metre break to relieve pressure. Jen Myler made a burst as well. And I think you can... It's all about how you end the sets. And I think our ladies did very well in that situation.
Well, yeah, because in any game, matter how much possession you've got, the other team is always going to have chances and have threats. And there's going to be a time where you're going to have to defend. And it's how you deal with those situations, isn't it? And then you'll get your chance when you come away. But yeah, ending the set well is good, no matter what rugby league you're watching. But you've got to put that kick's got to be right. You've got to build pressure. You've got to force repeat sets. Don't use dollying the ball to the opposition and giving it them like a parcel. You've got to sort of make them make a decision, haven't you? So I thought they managed that game really well, considering that they were down in numbers as well.
Yeah, end of the first half, Stanley came on top. Try-saving tackles from Alex Simpson. Bagley and Milo were involved as well in one. You know, it was fantastic sort of defence to keep them scoreless in that first half. Second half was more of the same. Emerald Hickey went close. Stanley scored with about 25 minutes to go. And then, big crucial moment for me, Parker. Stanley were backed up into their 20. We were attacking. We looked like we could be in for a try. Unfortunately, their winger intercepted, raced away 60 metres. Alex Simpson tracked the runner, managed to haul her down about 20 metres out, stole the ball as well, and went up. Back up the field with it. Crucial moments like that win your games.
Well, that's what it is. It's those efforts on efforts, isn't it? They sort of never say die. Like I said before, the girls would have been blowing by that point. They've done a lot of work with limited players, and to still have that will to get back. I mean, to be fair, she could have let her go.
Yeah,
scoreline was in our favour. But it just shows, doesn't it, that they've got so much pride in what they do, that it was no, you won't go past, no matter what you think. And that's just going to set them up for the rest of the year. And like I said, I know I've said it a few times now, but when they do get a full set of team together, how dominant they can be, and how with that determination, I think we're probably set now for a decent year.
Yeah. I think the class part of it, Paul, was the fact that she waited for the winger to make the decision on what she was going to do. She just waited and waited and waited and just got her in the end. And that's it's class like that that makes the difference.
Yeah, it is that's great play. It really is good play. It just shows that they're learning, and things that you're doing in training then comes off, doesn't it, in attack and defence. So yeah, that's the way to play the game, and just delighted for them. Really. They've overcome the problems early doors and whatever, and now they've got confidence and smiles on their faces, like we said last week, and made two from two that now. So progression now, and just keep building. And like Parker says, when they get full complement of players back, it's going to be even better. So they've shown what they can do though in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, Stanley scored next to make it 16-8. We had a try disallowed. Jen Myler went through a hole. I think Simpson put her through the gap, pulled back for a forward pass. It was level at best for me, Parky, but I suppose our ladies didn't let that affect them. They continued to remain focused and got the job done.
I've got to say, I've not seen them play, but I like the sound of this Myla.
Yeah.
Hopefully she's better than previous Milas we've had. But yeah, she seems to be all over, doing all, scoring tries, saving tries, defending. I mean, that's a great sign. I'll have to try and catch up with the game when I can. But yeah, you know, with decisions like that, when you're on the back of, they score and you think, we need to get back on track here. We need to score. And then you go through and the referee pulls you back for something. It can really sort of dent you a little bit. And you think, well, you know, is it now starting to go against us? Just little things like that. Because obviously it only takes small things to turn a game. And when it is that close, that one try there could have just finished the game off at that point. So again, it's about that attitude the girls have got and staying strong and not sort of getting a bit frustrated by it all. I've not seen it. So whether it was forward or not is... We don't know, but I don't know.
It was flat.
I tend to think it probably wasn't, but that's the way it is. But it's about that attitude then, of how they come back after that and not getting frustrated, like you say, and not thinking, oh, it's against us, the game's turning or whatever. You know, we're down, we've only got, you know, 15 players and we've lost one with an injury. And no, just keep that right mental attitude and keep pushing on.
So... time was ticking on, a couple of minutes to go. Demi Jones kicks to the corner. The Chaser were there. Gray was there. Kelly was there. But Alex Simpson picked up the ball, sort of bounced over the fullback and crashed over in the corner to secure the points for Mike Grady's ladies, Paul.
Yeah, another good win. Another good win. And it's nice to clinch the game, isn't it? Especially away from home as well. Tough place to go, that, and to get 2 points and come back over the hill. It's always nice to stay over. So it's Stanley. Is it Dewsbury, that Stanley?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's right, neck of the woods, isn't it? So, yeah, it's nice to come back over to Lancashire with a 2 points.
Yeah, picturesque scene behind the pitch of all kind of Yorkshire houses. Parky set the scene for our ladies' fantastic win.
They have all the washing out.
Yeah,
like it normally does when you go to Yorkshire, just washing in the street. What are you doing?
Yeah,
and yes, I've been through Stanley. I've never actually been sort of to it, but I've been through it. Yeah, it is very much all the houses are made out of that Yorkshire stone, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. So,
yeah, it can be quite last than a summer wine-ish, I think. But yeah, another great win for them, and it's onwards now. And we just need the games to keep coming. We don't need big gaps in between like we've seen in previous years, because that does nobody any favours, I don't think.
Yeah, so fantastic win for Mike's Grady's ladies and all this week on the community pitches on Sunday. You know, that's going to be an absolute cracker, but we'll talk about that in a bit. And now we'll look and see what's happening in the world of Salford Red Devils.
Devil in Detail News.
So the big news, Paul Rowley decides to stay at Salford Red Devils. Approach from Hull FC was made, but rejected. Great news for everybody, Paul.
Yeah, good. Yeah, of course it is. Yeah, we don't want to lose our coach, do we? Particularly not to Hull anyway, or any other club. So, no, it's nice for us to sort of fend these clubs off, because sometimes it's a bit like being in a playground at school, isn't it? You get these big teams circling, these big bullies like the Wigan Saints and Leeds taking your players and God knows what. It's nice for us to sort of turn around and say, well, no, you're not having him. Why do we want to get rid of Paul Rowley when we're trying to compete and get in the playoffs and what have you? So yeah, Hull have won one game this season. So who are they? So no, I'm glad because you hear it a lot in rugby league sometimes. Oh, Hull are a massive club and this, that, and this. I don't buy all that. I think it's a load of rubbish. I think sometimes teams will sort of talk themselves up, won't they? And no, I'm just glad he's decided to stay and sort of carry on the journey he's got to solve them, because from what I've seen as an outsider looking in, there's a lot of problems at Hull. You look at the amount of money they've spent in the last 20 years or so, the amount of Australia and New Zealand signings they've had, and really what return have they had? They won a couple of Challenge Cups, but not won the championship since 1983. So I think there's a lot of problems there that go deeper than just the coach as well. So yeah, it wouldn't have been a place I'd have gone anyway if I'd have been offered it. So no, I'm glad he's staying though, because he's doing a good job.
Yeah, he believes in the project, Parky. We talk about, like you say, Hull FC having this new management structure with Richie Myler. That may have been a factor with a new director of football involved. I think it's a positive message sent out to everybody that we're trying to change. And I think that's important. I think he is a big part of the reason why we are where we are. So for him to stay just gives everyone a big boost.
Listen, I've said to anyone who listened in the last few days since the news broke, is that you can lose Jackson Hastings and you can lose Brody Croft and you can lose whoever else. And they're always massive blows and you think, oh God, how do we get through this? How do we get... They would have been nothing in compared to losing Paul Roller. Mm. He's the man that's made this team what it is. He's the man that seems to be able to do miracles with nothing. You know what I mean? He's had very little to work with. I don't mean that. I'm not going to go at the players, but in terms of like financial, to go and bring in the players that he may want to bring in, he generally gets what's available, if you know what I mean. He's not going to go to Wigan and say, I'm going to pay you 200 grand and we're having him. You know, he's not in that position. He has to build his team. And you look at the players that we've brought in over the last few years. Yeah, and most of them have moved on, but you mentioned Dion Cross from the weekend, had a great game. Picked him up from the Championship. Obviously, we know about like Sir Tyler Dupree and things like that. He gets players, and the mark for me of a manager is can you improve players? It's easy coaching great players most of the time. I think if Paul Rowley went to St. Helens, I don't think he'd have a problem winning the league. I really don't. But to build a team that's competing for the top six with the budget he's got and the injuries he gets, and he doesn't have his proper own training ground, the facilities aren't, everything he's done for us, I think that if he'd have walked away and gone to Hull, which he could have done, no problem. I'm sure they were offering him oodles of cash to spend on his squad for next year and build his own legacy, and they obviously get great crowds. The adulation he'd get up in Hull, you know what rugby league's like in that city. So, and he has no allegiance to us. He's not a Salford boy. He's never played for the club. He could have just walked away. But he hasn't, and he stayed loyal. And I think, like you say, he's got this. He sees the project. He sees what he's doing. And he knows it. At Salford, he's in control of it. He goes off to another club. He'll have to do what they say, tell him to do. I think he's got a bit of freedom at Salford to express what he wants. And the other side to it is, I mean, people were saying, well, if he goes, we'll give the job to Kurt. I think he would have took Kurt Haggerty with him and anyone else who he wants from his backroom staff, because that's what happens. So you're starting from scratch again, midway through a season, trying to build a team. The blow would have been horrendous. Whatever's gone on behind the scenes at Salford to help him stay here is, I don't know, but somebody deserves massive credit for talking to him to convince him that Salford's the club for him.
Yeah, I'm sure, Paul, that Paul Rowley has had a chat with Paul King. Ian Blees had a discussion about the vision, and he seems like he agrees with what's going on and where the club is going. And it's a great result for everybody, and obviously happy with that.
Yeah, I think sometimes in sport, football, rugby league, whatever, I think there's certain coaches and certain managers that suit certain clubs. And there was someone I said to him in the press conference, I don't normally ask any questions, but there's only me there because you've gone getting the bus, haven't you? So I thought I'll have to sort of be the Salford sort of face. And he was talking about, he talks a lot about underdog, doesn't he, Paul Rowley?
Yeah, loves it.
And he was just answering my question, then he stopped. So I was going to ask him another question. I just went, you like being the underdog as well, don't you, Paul? And the smile on his face said it all. And when all these rumours were going around this week, I just kept thinking about that in my head. The underdog bit that we'd said, and I thought he does like that. If he went to Hull, you'd be the big sort of team then, wouldn't you? You know, the big fish, you've got money to spend. A bit like when we had old Kukash, it was like that. And I mean, we weren't the same then. Clubs looked at us differently. It's like, oh, big flash Salford, they've got all this money and all that, and other teams look at you differently. So he'd have that pressure on him. At Salford, he's got pressure because every job's got pressure, but he is the underdog, so no one really expects us to do well. And there's that sort of mentality around the club, and I think it brings everyone together. It brings the players together, it brings the coaching staff together and the supporters, because we're all fighting to be... We've not got the resources that these other clubs have got, but that's what makes it so proud that we can compete with them. And look at Hull, we're showing them up. I mean, how many times have we been there last few seasons and absolutely walloped them? And they're probably paying a lot more than what we're paying on players. So I don't think... To me, sport's not all about money. I mean, like I was saying there, when Kukoc did come in at Salford, I don't know how much money we spent, but we signed a lot of players, a lot of big-name players, and we seemed to have this open checkbook for Brian Noble. We didn't get us anywhere. We didn't win anything. It was awful. We sort of down the bottom end of the table, so it just shows you doesn't always need that. Yeah, you do need money to run a club. I mean, we struggle, don't we? We just about get by, but can't buy that togetherness and that spirit, that desire. And Paul Rowley, it rubs off on the players. Players want to play for him, don't they? And you've only got to speak to some of the senior players at Salford. They want to be at Salford because of him, because of what he brings out in them. You only got to ask Brian Brailer. You speak to him about Paul Rowley, and he'll tell you.
Beautiful, beautiful, Paul. I don't know whether this is 100-day cough I've got, but I'm welling up here. But, but you know, fantastic. Like you say, the journey goes on, the party goes on, and that's what it's all about. Let's move on to the Red Rise Together. Third kit has been released. Flashback, the 1973 home shirt, Parker. You're our dedicated follower of fashion. Thoughts?
Absolutely love it. Mm. From the minute I saw it, I bought it. Now, we brought one out not long ago, that mash-up shirt, and I couldn't imagine anything worse than looking at that. And I thought, this can't be right, this can't be it, we can't have this for a third shirt. And then this came out, and I was like, just put it straight into my veins, please. It's beautiful. Both of them, the actual replica and the retro version, are just simple, but classy. It just looks the part. I'm absolutely delighted with it. Yeah, they got my 50 quid straight away. I think what a lot of what VX3 have brought out for us in recent years has been really, really good. But this, I think this at the moment tops it all. And I know we're going to play in it on Saturday. I'm just wondering whether this is going to be our new 2019 thing,
yeah,
where we went into the black shirt with the sash, strangely enough. But we're going to go for that. And it might take us all the way to a grand final, who knows? But to see it with the S on it as well, I mean, that's not been on a shirt since the 70s or early 80s, has it? I mean, that's a symbol of Salford. That's what people remember when they think of it, a great Salford side. So the elements, it's all brought back together. I absolutely love it. And I'm pretty sure it'll fly out.
Yeah, VX3 will be at the match on Saturday in the fan zone. Paul, will you be partaking in a purchase of the shirt?
No, I bought a shirt for donkey's years, Rob, but I didn't even know. It's funny because I must be blasé to these sort of things. And when I'm working, I don't really look at my phone. So I didn't even see that mashup shirt. By the time I saw it when I was finishing work, when I go on my phone before I finish my shift, it sold out anyway. So the other night, I didn't even know anything about this shirt. I just flicked on my phone before I was doing my paperwork to come home. I thought, well, what's this? And I watched that video with some of the supporters on it, and I thought, wow, that is amazing. It just looks the part, doesn't it? It's like something we'd design. If he asked us to design a shirt, it's like something we'd do it when we were kids, you know, like the S on it. And, oh, it was just fantastic. And I know Parky must have put a picture on the Anorak's page a few years ago when someone asked for that shirt. And I think is it Keyfield? Not Keyfield. It's David Watkins, I think, with that shirt on. And Ian Rollins in the background. I don't know who we're playing, but it's about 73-ish. And yeah, it's a great shirt. And I've said it for ages, why can't we play with a shirt with the S on it? And now we've got one. So like you said, that other shirt, the red one, is there like a T-shirt as well? That looked pretty smart as well. And the actual retro one with just a plain white shirt, I think, oh, it's looked brilliant. Really, really. I didn't know we were playing in it. I just thought it was just something we brought out. And then when they said they're playing it on Saturday, I'm like, wow, can't wait for Saturday now.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
And as all the names of the people who donated via the Red Rise Together embroidered on it, which is great. Obviously, a big thumbs up. Remember everyone here on the podcast. On Saturday, we're doing a big thing with the community, young people, at the match, the Salford Youth Zone and the Hideout Youth Zone. Parker coming to watch the game. We talk about how we want to be a community club, and things like this will help.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the club do a great job, to be honest, about what we do in the community anyway. But yeah, there was something put out, wasn't there? Was it a couple of weeks ago about applying for tickets for people who are less fortunate, who can't get there, can't afford it, or people who like working, like nurses and we see it all the time, and obviously it's the state of the country, and we're not getting political and that sort of thing, but people are using food banks when they're working full-time and stuff like that. I mean, really? Is that where we're at? But the club are reaching out to these people and saying, well, we'll do what we can, because the last thing that people have got, a lot of people have got money for at the moment is their leisure time. And you don't realise how important that is to people, to be able to just get out and let the stress go for 18 minutes. I know watching Salford and stress go together, but you know what I'm saying? That the real life bills and where's your next meal coming from and can you put the heat on, that kind of stuff. We're giving people a chance to come and just enjoy yourself, let your hair down, have a bit of fun, change the scenery. And I think it's brilliant that they've teamed up and they're getting all this done. So just full of praise for them, and hopefully we can carry that on. And one other thing is, I'm going to say it again in a bit, but we need bodies at games. This is one way of hopefully enticing people to come, but also we've got to do our bit as fans as well to drag more people into the stadium, because the club deserve it, the team deserve it, and let's be honest, Paul Rowley deserves it right now. So, you know, anything we can do to get bums on seats. So we can do our bit, and the club are certainly doing theirs.
Yeah, other things happening in the community. Paul, Salford are taking part in the Chinese Boat Festival on Salford Quays, 8th of June, organised by the Exin Hua Chinese Association. Might be right, might be wrong. But exciting. I once took part in a charity boat race for the club. Rang me. It was because I work on Salford Quays. They rang me and said, what are you doing? Where are you? I said, I'm at work on the Quays. He said, oh, come down and help us with this boat thing. So it was us. I think it was the CIS and someone else. Basically, races up and down Salford Quays. I just sort of jumped at the chance on my dinner, raced down to the Quays, got in the boat, had a really good time. I think we might have won that particular race, if I remember rightly. Totally soaked, because obviously you're in a boat, aren't you? So I didn't really factor that in, really, that I would probably get wet. Had to go back to work after. Walked in the office. Everyone was looking at me as I'm sort of dripping on the floor, thinking, where have you been? What have you done? And they didn't believe me when I said, just been riding a boat. So it'll be a good day, that. It'll be great to get down and support that, Paul. And yeah, good times.
How long do you get for your dinner break?
It was literally...
How long do we get a cup of tea, mate? You're going to sit down for 5 minutes?
It was literally about 40 minutes from the moment I left my desk.
Oh, you're lucky.
And it was kind of like when I got there, and they were just sort of boarding the boat, and I was like, just sort of in one movement, just sort of raced straight onto the boat in one parking. So yeah, it was a good day. But yeah, it was a bit wet. Good time had by all.
I think this also is showing again, you're about the community thing and thinking about those who may be, you know, less well off or whatever else. This is also another side to it. We're looking at, you know, obviously the Chinese community and trying to get, because as great as rugby league is at its diversity, when you go to a ground, you still see, it's still very much the demographics more or less the same as it was probably 20, 30 years ago. We need to widen the scope, widen the net. And this is another way of doing that, and get local communities, because obviously the whole community is changing. So to just be involved and get people knowing about us, never mind if they come or not, at least they'll know that Salford Rugby League Club exists and we are part of this community and they're part of our community. So again, it's just another sign of what, you know, that the club are trying everything they can at the moment.
Yeah. I'm not going to say I'm going to put myself up for selection, but back when it was the boat racing thing, we only had like a first team. So they were scratching around for people. Now we've got three or four different teams. So I'm sure they'll be able to fill that boat, Paul.
Yeah, Steve Redgrave must have been busy that day, so they went for you instead. Still like a good day, though.
It was good times. So, other news, Matty Foster is going to Swinton on loan for 2 weeks, obviously getting match fit, Parker.
Yeah. Well, he's not had much time, has he, on the park? The brief spells he had, he looked okay. But he's no good being stagnant and not getting game time, getting selected in the 19 or every week and not getting a game. So, yeah, again, Still, there's no need to find out to get to the bottom of this Oldham relationship. We know he's gone to Swinton, strangely enough. But yeah, I mean, Swinton are going great guns, by the way. What a season they're having so far. I think they're just outside the top six in that league at the moment, just below Bradford. They're having a great time. So probably a good club to go to. Looks like things are going well there. And the other thing is, obviously, they train certain nights of the week, I think, at the stadium. They have an office there, so he's not going far away from us. But yeah, it'll be a good chance for him to get out there and have a go at it. And obviously, we know what the championship's like. You know, it's a tough league. So yeah, hopefully he'll come back fully fit and ready to go. And it'll just stand him in good stead. And hopefully he'll get a bit more game time, because I think he deserves it. He's fighting a tough position at Salford at the moment, because he's got some really talented players in front of him in that back row. But he's got a lot of potential, man. Like I said before, he's had problems with injuries in the past. He stays fit. He's going to be a good player to have around. So, yeah, get him out on loan, get him fit, get him game time.
Thoughts on that, Paul?
Yeah, I don't like all his praise for Swindon. Steady on back. No, what a joke. No, they've had a good start to the season, like you said, and had a good win in Toulouse as well. And they've got another tough game this weekend against Halifax. So, yeah, I know going to Oldham might be good, because we've got this partnership with them, but Oldham are like wiping the floor with everybody in that league, aren't they? So you might not be getting the toughness that you probably get in the Championship playing for Swindon. So, yeah, I think getting game time, because forgive my ignorance here, we've not got reserves this season, have we? Or have we?
No, I think we do.
Do we? Have we played any games? Have we played any games this season?
I think they played Saints in a friendly.
We've not played any matches, though, have we? Don't seem to be in the league this season with the reserves. So the lads need game time, don't they? I mean, someone like Matty Foster, who's been in the squad quite a number of times, doesn't it? If you're not getting that match fitness and your body's getting hit and knocked about and that, you're raw, aren't you? You're not ready, you're green. So, yeah, he probably needs that time. So, and like Pike said, say this through gritty teeth, a good club to go to. And I'm sure he'll come back a better player and play well for Swindon. He won't let us down.
No. So that's all the news. And now we'll look forward to this weekend's games.
It's time for the Devil of the Details Big Man Review.
So Salford Devils ladies are in action on Sunday on the community pitch. 2 p.m. kickoff. They face Alton, rivals Parkey over the last few years. We've had some really ding-dong contests with them, and this is just another chapter in the story.
Yeah. Well, these are the big games, aren't they? We faced them a couple of years back in the grand final, and they borrowed a few players, didn't they, to play against us. And
yeah.
I don't think that sat well with us. But yeah, this is going to be a real test. A really good team, well coached, well developed, been around for a long time. These are the games that hopefully we can get a full 17 players together and keep everybody fit. Should be a belter. These two will probably be fighting out at the top end of the league with a couple of others maybe. But this is the one, I suppose, that we need to. If we can get over this. A great start to the season. The confidence that we'll get from beating teams like this will do us really good. I don't know what the situation is with Alton, whether they're still using players from Leeds or whether they have their own full squad now or what. I don't really know. But if they are, they're borrowing players off Leeds again. It makes it a hell of a lot tougher, because obviously we know how good Leeds' ladies team is. So that'll be an interesting battle. But yeah, I think it'll be blood and thunder.
So Parkey. Obviously, we talked about Alton, and Mike Grady says he thinks that he'll have a squad of 20 for the Alton game, which is great. Obviously, after last week scratching around for players, but now obviously it seems to have got a few injuries back, and it's going to be a tough game, isn't it? Obviously, Alton a really good side, but like I say, two wins on the spin for us. We're going to go into that confident.
Yeah, I think like you say, I think last week might do us a big favour. Because I think it probably said a lot to the girls about how good they are and what kind of depth the squad's got, that you turn up with 15 players and still do a job. When you do get all your players back, how good can you be? I think, obviously, a lot of key members were missing last week. So get them back in the squad this week. They've had a week off as well, so if they were ill or carrying any knocks, they could have cleared up. So, yeah, I think we're in a really good shape in this way. And if you go, if we win the first three games on the bounce, like I've said before, the confidence will be flowing through for the rest of the year. And it is a key game against a very good opposition. But yeah, I think just having those players back will give them a lift. And fingers crossed, we can get through it. I just want to mention, by the way, while we're on ladies, the ladies masters. I mentioned them before. There's a tournament this Saturday. I know, obviously, we're playing. 10 of the in Blackpool, the Ovarian Cancer Festival, hosted by the Blackpool Bells. And it's the first ever ladies' masters only. Because last time they did it with the men. Now it's ladies only. And I just wanted to mention it because, obviously, my wife's playing. But so there are a number of Salford fans who are playing, mostly for Folly Lane. But also, we know certainly of one that plays for Goulburn, who are going to be there, along with Leyland Warriors, Haysham Atoms, Lee Miners, and obviously Blackpool Bells, who are hosting it. I went last year. It's a great little festival. And I just want to wish everybody who goes there, these ladies, again, now taking up the game again. It's growing. I think last year it was about 14, and now it's 6 or whatever. It's growing every year, so it's a good way of keeping fit. So if anyone's listening who thinks, don't mind giving it a crack, you can have a tackle, you can sing, you can whatever. It's up to you. But it's just another thing that's going on at the moment around the community.
Yeah, I think it's great. Obviously, the ladies' game's growing all the time, Paul. Events like Parky's just said there will only grow the interest. Hoping for a big crowd down on the community pitch on Sunday, Paul, because obviously a bigger crowd there inspires the ladies on.
Yeah, it certainly does. I think it's great to start the day. Let's sort of get a bit of decent weather this week. Because like we mentioned before, it's just, especially we know at work, it's just winter. Just keeps me dragging on for ages. We should be getting quieter now. But yeah, I hope we get a bit of decent weather and people get down because it should be a great day.
Yeah, exciting times. Don't forget, Sunday, 2 p.m. kickoff. Going to be exciting. Paul Rowley's men are in action against Warrington at home and the Salford Community Stadium. Big test for Paul Rowley. Obviously, with everything going on this week, I'm sure the players will be focused on the task at hand. Obviously, the good news that he's staying will obviously and hopefully inspire him on, Paul.
Yeah, well, it can work two ways, can't it? There can be a bit of an angle from that and people being unsure about this and the other, but I don't think so. I think Paul Rowley is a very, very good manager. I think he's a very good motivator. You've only got to speak to the players about that. I think you could talk about coaches being tactical geniuses and things like that. And I think he gets his tactics spot on. But I think what you've got with Paul Rowley as well is you've got a really decent fella and a really good character and a bit of an old school sort of person, really, I'd say, the way he can motivate players and get the best out of them. I can think of a few football managers I can read him off from years ago who reminds me of, really. But though people like Paul are quite few and far between now. I don't see there being many coaches like him in the Super League who can do what he's done. I mean, whether it'd work at a club with loads of money, whether he'd work at somewhere like a Wigan or a Saints, probably would, because it's difficult sometimes working with different groups of players, isn't it? But the group he's got at Salford, and I think he's moulded this team himself, hasn't he? He's got some good people in there working for him, and they trust him. And I think somebody who doesn't get a mention, who should get a mention more, and I try and mention him, is Kurt Agutter. I think Kurt's done tremendously well, and he's a really knowledgeable guy, and he's only a fairly young man. But, you know, he's done coaching at amateur level for a long time, hasn't he? At Pilkey Rex, he was there for a while. He's coached at Lee as well. He's an head coach in Super League. And I think he works so well with Paul because they trust each other and they have that sort of really, really good relationship. So where we were saying before, Piper said about Paul Rowley, if he went to Hull, I don't think there's any doubt he'd have took Kurt Agutter with him. Kurt's his right-hand man. So yeah, I don't think we'll see an angle from that. I think you'll see a Salford side fired up on Saturday. And let's just look at the home form so far this season. We've been very good at home. We've only lost once to Wigan, and we should have won that. So I'm excited for it. It'll be a tough test against Warrington, though, because Sam Burgess has got them playing really well.
Yeah, like Paul said there, Parker, Sam Burgess, coach at Warrington. A lot of people were interested to see how he was going to go, but he seems to have got them working.
Yeah, they've got a new sort of steel about them. I think that Warrington, you don't associate with Warrington most of the time. I think the league game sort of proved that normally I think Warrington fall apart in games like that in the past and throw it away, and certainly games that you expect them to win. So they have got a bit of that about them. They've got a hell of a lot of pace. Duffy, Ashton, Thewlis, people like that, a very, very quick sort of back line they've got. So if we defend badly out wide, we'll get punished. And that's a bit of a worry. He's got them playing that way. But the only thing is, I will say about Warrington is that they can be a little bit up and down. One week they can look like world beaters, and the week after struggle a bit like they did at the weekend against Leeds. So they always give you a chance. And our battles against Warrington tend to be like that. I said in my predictions this week that both teams seem to go on a roll. One will win like three or four on the bounce, and then the other one will win three or four on the bounce and or whatever. And I think this is a really tough game to call. I think we've not been in the best form, but we've got a bit about us at the moment. And Warrington seem to be a little bit better than they have been. So, I mean, last year's game, what a match that was. It went all the way to Golden Point, and brilliant a day. The weather was better than it has been now, but great day, great atmosphere and everything about it. And then we went on and edged the game. And I think it could be that close again this time. I hope there's a big bumper crowd. I hope everybody sort of gets behind the boys, because they're going to need us this week, I think. But I think it's going to be, I think it's one of them that if you're a neutral at home, this is one of them games you go, I'm going to sit and watch that. That's going to be the one for me this weekend. So, yeah, fingers crossed, but it's going to be tough. They've got a lot of really good players. George Williams is in great form. Daryl Clark's playing some of Walker playing some of the best rugby of his career so far. They've got some really big forwards. So, a real battle, but if we turn up, who knows?
Prediction time, Paul?
I think we'll win by 8 points. The bookies have given us an 8-point start, but I think we'll win by 8. So I'm going to go
24-16.
Packy? That's interesting. I predict we'll lose by 8 points.
I know.
I have done on my pre-match predictions only because I worry about the pace. We don't seem to have any, and they've got lots. And if they make a break, I don't think we're going to stop them. So I've gone Salford 12, Warrington 20.
He obviously doesn't want his Nando's, does he?
No. Paul? No. Okay. No. I'll be quarantined again by then, so it won't matter.
You can't win a Nando's, can you, if you get the correct score, but it's for the opposition.
Yeah. Keep telling him this, but I don't know. Do you like your new jingle, by the way, that I found for you?
I'll be honest, I've not heard it.
Oh. Here it is now, Parky. It's an absolute banger.
I don't like listening to myself, to be honest with you. I think I talk nonsense most of the time, so I don't know. Adding music to it, it's like sprinkling glitter on dog muck.
Oh, won't say that. Won't say that. So, my prediction, I'm going to go Salford 30, Warrington 6, and we're going Laffey hat-trick for the Reds in front of a crowd of 7,000, which would be good. Good numbers.
Yeah. It'd be better than good. I think, if the weather was going to play ball, we could easily probably get towards that. So I might like to see 6.5 at least turn up. Playing Warrington is usually a good game. They always travel well, don't need big numbers. They'll be up for it because they've been going well. They're in the semi-final of the Cup. They had that great win against Saints the other week. They're going to be favourites to go to Wembley. So they're on a roll. So they'll certainly turn up. So it's about our fans getting out and getting behind the boys. No real excuse. I know people are moaning about local football clubs at the moment not being particularly good. Some of them anyway. Well, why don't you come and watch us instead? Come and watch a team actually competing. Give that a go.
Yeah. So that's the end of this week's podcast, Parker. Another great show. I've not coughed for an hour and a half, which is some kind of modern day miracle, I think. The antibiotics must have kicked in, so long live the NHS.
Yeah, mine will start as soon as they put my head on the pillow tonight. And you keep me up. So I fell asleep at midnight last night. I thought, oh, here we go, this will be all right. And then by 2:15, I was awake, and then that was it until about 9 o'clock this morning.
Yeah.
So, yeah, well, not been great. So he's waiting for me. He's hiding behind me for me. I'm sure I'll break out again, but I'll get through it. I'll be fit for Saturday.
That's what it's all about. getting fit for Saturday. Another great show. Paul, we're getting prepared for our next attempt at the Independent Podcast Awards. Been looking through our stats for this year, and our listenership is up 33% on last year.
Well, that's good, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah,
good. Very impressive.
Yeah, we must be doing something right then, mustn't we?
Yeah.
Really good news.
Very good news. It was obviously fantastic. Obviously, people tuning in, week out, listening to us three talk all things Salford Red Devils. I think the closing date's in May. So we've got to make sure that we get our best bits together into the competition and see where that takes us, Parker.
Yeah, you never know. You never know. It still blows me away that people listen. Really does. Yeah. So we might get it this time. We might see. We keep knocking on the door. And I think things are getting a little bit better, aren't they? A little bit more slick. We're certainly getting more out there, content and everything. So we keep going in that direction. Like I said last year, we've got nothing to lose. It's just us three talking. It's neat. So some people put a hell of a lot into other podcasts that I listen to. They got professional production teams and all sorts behind them. And we're just us. I think we do a pretty good job, to be fair.
Yeah. Been amazing. Obviously, another great podcast, Paul. And obviously, looking forward to an exciting weekend watching Salford Red Devils.
Certainly, have another day of work to get through for us, but no, I'm looking forward to it. I'm really excited for that. And yeah, let's just hope people come down on Saturday. And I just hope we get a better crowd than we did in our last home game, because every game we played at home this season, the crowd's been bigger every week and it's got better every week. So, I mean, that's going in the right direction. So, if we get 7,000 on Saturday, I think that'd be brilliant then. If we could topple Warrington as well and get up to 12 points. I mean, it's tight at the top of the league anyway, isn't it? So yeah, really looking forward to it.
Yeah. So, big thanks for joining us on this Devil in the Detail. I'm Rob Parkinson. You can find us on Facebook, Devil in the Detail SRD. You can find us on X at DITDSRD. And you can find us on SoundCloud, iTunes, and Spotify. So good luck, Reds. We'll see you on the other side.